Kof Aleph Iyar, Sunday the 10th of May, Rabbi Yisroel Meir Rubenfeld, Sehudas Shabbos, Me'ein Olam Haba.
I would like to begin to relate about Sehudas Shabbos two stories related to one aspect of Sehudas Shabbos, two stories about Cholent. There was a couple that were Balei Tshuva. They reached a wonderful milestone in their life. Their son was becoming Bar Mitzvah, and they chose to celebrate the Simcha in a hotel. The father of the Bar Mitzvah was a Talmud of Rav Simcha Wasserman, Zichrono Livracha. He invited Rav Simcha to come to the Bar Mitzvah. He said he couldn't come, he wasn't feeling well. But he said, make sure you're going to have Shabbos in a hotel. Make sure to have cholent. So this Talmud said to Rav Simcha, it's really something he was looking forward to avoiding because it needs to be kept hot. And there's so many shaylos about how to heat it up in the hotel. We worked it out with the caterer. We'll actually have some savings as well. And we'll have salmon and fish and meat and chicken, and there'll be plenty of food. The main affair will be Matzoi Shabbos. Then we'll have plenty of hot food and all the culinary delights. For Shabbos, we're not planning to have anything hot. Rav Simcha Wasserman said to him, I grew up with a Messiah that on Shabbos we have hot food. Please, I have one request. See to it that you have hot food. See to it that you have cholent. So, that was it. The Rebbe paskened. He has to have cholent. Spoke to the caterer again, and they prepared several crack pots, and they had cholent on Shabbos. This Talmud, him and his wife were both Balei Tshuva, so many irreligious relatives, when they sent out the invitation, so they said, the main affair is going to be Matzoi Shabbos, and everybody is welcome to come with their entire family. But if you'd like to come for Shabbos, you need to agree to come before sunset on Friday and stay till after Shabbos. There was an uncle and aunt that lived in the neighborhood of the hotel. So they said, we'll come and say Mazel Tov, we'll congratulate on Shabbos afternoon. They came with their car, but they parked a few blocks away from the hotel. And they figured nobody will notice, and they come to the hotel on Shabbos afternoon. Sure enough, they walk into the hotel was permeated with a time of Shabbos. The couple made it their way to the main ballroom, and everybody was seated during Sehudas Shabbos, and suddenly this elderly woman, the aunt, stops short in her tracks, turns to her husband trembling, and she says, we have to go home, now. We can't stay, we can't be here. The uncle immediately took his wife home. On the way home, he asks her, what's wrong? I never saw you this way. What happened? What transpired that shook you so much? And she says to her husband, as you know, I'm a child of the Holocaust. My last memory, as I was being taken away by the Nazis, was when I was 6 years old on a Shabbos afternoon. I remember enjoying the aroma, the fragrance of a hot cholent. And to me, that's what connected me to Shabbos when I was a child. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came and took me away from my parents. That last memory I have of Judaism was a Shabbos meal. I haven't smelled cholent in close to 70 years. When I entered the hotel and I smelled the cholent, it brought me back to my memories of my youth. It woke me, and I asked the question, what in the world am I doing with my life? Is this what life is all about? In my childhood, I had an attachment to the Almighty. How could I be missing that? I must get it back. And she says to her husband, from henceforth, I will keep Shabbos until my dying day. All because Rav Simcha Wasserman insisted that they have cholent by the Sehudas Shabbos in the hotel. Now for the second story. There was a young cheder boy in a class, in a cheder class, and the Rebbe was endearing the chashivas ha-Torah to his talmidim. And the classroom, filled with charged talmidim, The Rebbe says to the class, so what's the most choshev thing in the world? What's most important in life? And one child perks up and shouts out, Shalant! So the Rebbe felt it was totally out of place and sent the Talmud to the principal's office. When the Talmud was asked why he answered so disrespectfully, he replied, I meant no disrespect. Every Friday, my Rebbe teaches us the Devar Torah about the Parsha. And when it comes to Seder Shabbos, I start saying the Devar Torah. My father ignores me because he's engrossed in the Cholent. So I guess Cholent is more important than my Devar Torah. How is our Seder Shabbos? Will our children have pleasant memories of the experience 70 years from now? Or will they see us engrossed in our Cholent and ignoring them? Rav Shach, Zecherno Livracha, once commented that the cooking yeshiva was zeicha, the tremendous nachas from his children that he himself felt missing. And Rav Shach is quoted to us, have said that he wasn't zeicha to what the cook was zeicha to. Because whenever we walked by the cook's house on Shabbos, we would hear him singing Zemiris with his children. He himself, said the Rosh Yeshiva, was always engrossed in the Sefer. May Ein Olam Haba, no easy endeavor to pull a bit of heaven down to earth. We want our Seder Shabbos to be May Ein Olam Haba. But we all know there are no free tickets to Olam Haba. I remember years ago when I lived in Toronto in Canada, so many Hasidish Rebbes would come to town. And one of them was invited to town, and he asked the arranger, I'll come to town, mit vemen velachovim zitzim bam tish, who will I have to sit together? Who's going to be there? Will there be an olam? And the chief organizer said to this Rebbe, he said, Toronto is being Gan Eden. It's just like Gan Eden. Das was bebrengt mit das hotman. Whatever you bring along, that's what you have. If you come with an entourage, you'll have people. Shabbos is the same way. Mishe Torach be'erev Shabbos, hu yoichel b'Shabbos, is not just a metaphor about food. Reb Shlom Shadron was fond of a story that he used to say, explaining, what does it mean, Mishe Torach be'erev Shabbos, yoichel b'Shabbos? So he said a story about an ignorant wagon driver who was driving his wagon, his horse and buggy, the cold Russian fields, and he hears some sound in the bushes. The sound was a child that was left there to die, almost frozen to death. He quickly takes the child and puts him in the wagon, wraps him up in blankets, lights a fire, and saves his life. And Reb Shlomo Shadron would describe in Shemayim what's going on. Amazing. You saved the life. He said it was a tumult in Shemayim. The Malachim were debating, what do we do with this person? He's on such a high madrega now. Let's take his life right now. Put him right in Gan Eden. Others said, no, let him live out his life. Whatever happens, he blows it, he blows it. And they decided, the way the mashal goes, we're going to ask him. And at the moment, he was on a high madrega. So he chose, let me go, say farewell to my family, and I'm ready. And Reb Shlomo Shadron describes how he comes up to Shamayim. And they welcome him. You saved the life. Matzal nefesh achas me Yisrael. What a high madrega. You have whatever you want you can get. Tell us what it is you want. Gan Eden is yours. So he says, okay. I'd like to have a wagon with golden wheels. And I'd like to have the wagon being pulled with white horses. And I'd like to be able to read the newspaper from the morning till at night. He says, Bocha Rebbe, yesh koina oilomoi b'shoa achas, but it's oilomoi. A person could be koina oilom haba in one moment, but it's his world, what his concepts are. Mishe torach be'erev Shabbos, hu yoichel b'Shabbos. We can prepare for Shabbos, and we can prepare by buying all the local newspapers and the kosher magazines, and we can be busy with Shabbos, with entertainment. But there are those that prepare for Shabbos with the proper Devar Torah. What's age appropriate for my family? What are the proper stories that I can relate over Shabbos? Their Shabbos is a different Shabbos. It's interesting. Rashi says in Be'er that the only mitzvah that the Hachon is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa is Shabbos. Preparing for Suda Shabbos has value on so many levels. If Shimshon Pinkus writes in his Sefer Shabbos Malkus, Ikka Kedusha Shabbos l'misha roitzes ha-Shabbos u'l'misha mitzap eloi. Anticipating Shabbos maximizes its benefits. The Chaim HaKodesh says on the Pasuk v'shamru b'nei Yisrael ha-Shabbos, the word v'shamru is b'loshim v'oviv shomar es ha-davar. When Yaakov Avinu heard about the chalaimus of Yosef HaTzadik, the Pasuk says v'oviv shomar es ha-davar, Rashi says ha-yamamten u'mitzape mosa yovoi, waiting, anticipating, looking forward for it to come. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael ha-Shabbos. When we anticipate Shabbos, we wait for Shabbos, we prepare for Shabbos, then says the Archaim HaKadosh, we're zoicha to l'day roysam b'ris oylam. That's the impact that we'll have on the coming generations. Having a regular Seder at a Shabbos table, invaluable. Sometimes reading from a Sefer on the Halachas of Shemiras Haloshin, Hilchos Shabbos, there's so much available today in English. Some years back, in my family, we used to learn a few minutes every Shabbos Suda from the four-volume works of Rabbi David Ribiak called the 39 Melachos. If the 10 years we completed all four volumes, and I made it my business to track down the author, to tell him that my family made a siyum on his four volumes, just a few minutes every Shabbos Suda. A Cheder Rebbe once asked the Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe El Yishvei, the Chayim Levracha, he said, I'd like to take my class, my Talmidim, to Skver, to New Square, the Chassidish Shtetl. I'd like to take them there for a Shabbos. But the Minyonim that they will daven after the Zman Krishma. And Rebbe El Yishvei said, take them. They'll acquire an enormous amount of Yiras Shamayim. They'll see a Shabbos. Suda Shabbos is a time that we demonstrate our own Midas and our own Yiras Shamayim to our family. We have opportunities, by example, to demonstrate magnificent lessons. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Miri Rosh Yeshiva, met an old friend in the yeshiva on a Friday night and invited him to the Suda that night. The Rebbetzin brought out the soup. After they finished, the Rosh Yeshiva asked for seconds. The Rebbetzin brought out more. The Rosh Yeshiva asked for a third serving. Dumbfounded, his old friend asked Reb Chaim, while the Rebbetzin was in the kitchen, what happened to him? He was worried that his holy friend from back in yeshiva had compromised his character. The Rosh Yeshiva explained, when I give a shir in the yeshiva, a Talmud comes over to me after the shir and tells me how great the shir was. It gives me a lot of nachas. The Rebbetzin spends a whole day preparing her shir, the Suda Shabbos. In the beginning of the day, she has to go buy the vegetables. That's one shir. Then she goes to cook. Then she has a problem with the fuel from the oven, she has to go to her neighbor to get some propane, another shear, and so on. Thus, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I eat with gusto, because my wife gets a lot of nachas when I ask her to repeat her shear again and again. We teach our children to be sensitive to others by not letting ourselves get lost in our spiritual world. There are various halachas as to how soon and when Kiddush should be made on Friday night. There are Kabbalah-related considerations. With this in mind, the following story with the Chofetz Chaim is that much more meaningful. There was a young boy, Leib, who was en route home from yeshiva, but the train was stalled and he realized he wouldn't reach home before sunset on Friday. Leib asked the conductor to let him off at an earlier stop, and he was thrilled to find himself in Radin, where his great-uncle, the Chofetz Chaim, lived. When he came to the Chofetz Chaim's home, He was greeted with joy. The Rebbe then told him that the Chafetz Chaim was already in shul because he gave a shir before Mincha. Leib was exhausted. His trip was an arduous journey, and he dozed off. When he woke up, he sees the Chafetz Chaim learning by the table. The table was set for Suda Shabbos. After Leib finished davening, the Chafetz Chaim made Kiddush, and they all had the Suda. After the Suda, Leib glanced at the clock, and he saw that it was 4 a.m. In the morning, Leib asked the Rebbetzin what had happened. She explained, "When the Rav returned from shul, you were deeply asleep. I wanted to wake you for Kiddush, but the Rav would not allow it. He told me to make Kiddush for myself so that I could eat something. But the Rav learned until you awoke at 3 a.m. Then we all had the Suda together." Had Leib not noticed the clock, he never would have known that the Chafetz Chaim had delayed making Kiddush for 7 hours on his behalf. Sometimes we too have to wait. Sometimes it's even a few minutes. And sometimes we start getting a bit nervous. When we wait patiently and graciously, it adds special dimension to our Sudas Shabbos. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, some say it in Kiddush, "Im toshuv mishabbos raglecha," if because of Shabbos you restrain your feet, which refers to halachas that pertain to walking, such as tchum Shabbos, walking quickly, and so on. The Avnei Nezer says the words raglecha alludes to refraining from hergel. Shabbos meal should not be done out of rote, but we should rather be excited about the Shabbos Sudas. Rabbosai, we're given a special gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbos. We have the opportunity to impart to our children, to our grandchildren, a love and an appreciation for Shabbos and all that it entails. I know that Shabbos Sudas can sometimes be stressful. Demonstrating a loving and a calm, stress-free atmosphere at the Suda is integral. The Shabbos Suda should always be something that you look forward to and never resent. There's so much that can be learned and accomplished at the Shabbos Suda. Take advantage of the opportunity. We listen to our children. We listen to what they say. We take a moment to share. We take a moment to hear them share their stories, their anecdotes, what happened to them during the week. Give them a chance to shine. Allow them to choose their favorite song by Shabbos Sudas. The Suda Shabbos is a time for us to convey our values. It's a time for us to convey stories of tzaddikim, stories of rabbonim, of gedolim of previous generations. Just yesterday, I was fortunate to share the Suda Shabbos with another guest. This guest was from Eretz Yisrael, and it's a Talmud of Reb Chaim Greiniman, Zichrono Livracha, was listed just recently. And he shared a fascinating story. He said he was dealing with families, being Mekara families, inviting them to different classes and lectures. And one of those that gave the lecture spoke about Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha, Skenecha V'Yormulach. It's good to go to the older rabbis to ask their advice. So, one of the gentlemen that were in the audience came over to the rabbi afterwards and he says, "Rabbi, your lecture was wonderful. I liked everything that you said. Except there's one thing that you said that was," he said, "was shtuyot, was stupidity." You go to an old rabbi, he's going to die soon, and he's going to give us advice what to do. He can't accept that. It makes no sense at all. So he says, "Okay, I understand. Let me explain it to you this way. If you don't mind, I need an hour of your time. If you're willing to do it, you'll understand. I need you to come with me. There's a rabbi not far, Reb Chaim Greiniman. I'd like you to come to me, with me to Reb Chaim Greiniman." He said, okay, he thought he was going to ask the question to Reb Chaim Greiniman, which is not what he had in mind. They come together and they see Reb Chaim Greiniman, who at the time was 100% paralyzed. He was sitting and he was able to speak, listen and speak, observing each petitioner with his eyes, quickly absorbing what the question was, whether it was a question about Shalom Bayis or Parnoso, if they have an operation or on a Tesfus or whatever it might have been, and how brilliantly he was answering them one after the other. After an hour of observing, he had him stand close, so he was able to hear the questions and the answers, and he was amazed. And he said to the rabbi that brought him there, he said, I would have never believed it. He said, it must be something in the Torah. Because in the secular world, as we get older, we don't have that value. But when somebody has the Chochmas HaTorah, apparently there's something there that gives us that appreciation. The Sha'ala Vicha V'yagetcha, Skenecha V'yoymru Lach. And eventually this person became a full Baal Tshuva. The Bnei Yisoscha writes in two places that when Adam was Choyte, he used a few of his chushim, a few of his senses. He was poigib the chush hariyah, sight. He used his sight. He was looking at what was forbidden, the forbidden fruit. He touched what was forbidden. He tasted what was forbidden. The only chush, the only sense he did not use was the chush hareyach, of smelling. And the Bnei Yisoscha writes, to get us back into Gan Eden, we must come on to the chush hareyach. The reyach of Shabbos, the ruach of Shabbos, that taste is what Gan Eden was like, is what Achrus Hayomim will be like. Yes, Shabbos can be Me'ein Olam Haba. Thank you.